This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Army Secretary, millions given away in the Vax lottery, the first millionaire announced in Ohio. Memorial Day traffic, are you worried? Are you hitting the road? Sad story out of San Jose. We're going to start there. Hey, everybody. My name's Kate Delaney. Thanks so much for joining us on the show. Hope you are safe and well wherever you hail from, whether you're listening to me right now in this country or perhaps you're listening in another country. Really, truly, what the stories are coming out of San Jose is that when the shooter went in, he told people, don't worry, I'm not going to shoot you. So there must have been an agenda here as law enforcement is trying to piece together that motive for this crazy, insane, sick, twisted thing that happened at a Northern California light rail yard. And I hate to start this way, but how can we not when you hear about people that are narrowly escaping with their lives, running through the building, trying to help people, trying to secure it, which I love those stories of others helping, you know, workmates, realizing, let's try to keep some people safe, let's do whatever we can. And it's, so awful to hear about the Valley Transportation Authority facility in San Jose, a place that I went by many times when I was up north, and I guess that also hit me, that it just was there, you know, on the side. You go down Nimitz, and there you go. And there were some longtime employees, I mentioned this the other day, in their 20s and their 40s, all the way up into their 60s. And a ninth victim, by the way, identified Alex Ward Fritch, 49, taken to the hospital and then later died. So you can imagine there's a lot of GoFundMe being set up. And in fact, there's a central hub for it, GoFundMe.com/San Jose Strong. The shooter was an employee, of course, died of a self-inflicted gun wound. Chicken bailing out, and no. I don't know if it's retribution, because I don't think you get retribution, and that's the wrong word, and they're going to have to find a way in their heart, the family members, to move on. And I think that's incredibly tough. What a heartache. What a terrible, terrible heartache. And like I said, the scary thing is people that said, you know, the gun was pointed right at them, and the gunman said, don't worry, I'm not going to shoot you. So we're hearing stories of a grandfather who left behind a wife and three children, and we're hearing of other young people with so much in front of them with, you know, their life. So nine people all together. Wow. Wild. Sad. All right, let's talk about something else. Let's talk about some of the other things that I mentioned, besides the San Jose rail shooting. And, you know, the Army now has a new secretary. The Army secretary, it's just, you know, that formal, you're approved kind of thing, I guess. You go from nominee to confirmation. That's the way to put it. So the Senate confirmed the first female Army secretary, and for real, so it happened. Christine Wormuth will fill that role. There was a 12-hour span that started, I guess, Wednesday night, where she's, of course, the nominee to be the top civilian leader, and she was effectively confirmed, unconfirmed, and then finally confirmed to good, you know, for good. This is politics, right, as usual in the United States. So it looked like it was going to be a done deal, and then Senator Maria Cantwell from Washington was on the Senate floor, secured the unanimous consent to confirm her, along with a tranche of routine military promotions. But then 2 hours later, Chuck Schumer, the majority leader, requested to reverse the move, undoing the confirmation, and then there was this procedural hold, blah, 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 blah. And I guess they accidentally confirmed her by unanimous consent. It was a formality thing, and they fixed it. So bottom line is, reversal and then acceptance, she was confirmed, and she is confirmed, and she has quite a resume. Republican or Democrat, people seem to really like her, and they're backing her, and that's the key when you think of what an Army secretary has to do. an Army senior leadership consists of two civilians, the Secretary of the Army and the Undersecretary of the Army, and two military officers with a four-star rank. That's how we do it. The Chief of Staff of the United States Army and the Vice Chief of Staff. And, you know, like I said, she really has the chops to do this, and it's going to be interesting to watch because of all the things that you have to oversee with this. I mean, you're responsible for manpower, personnel, installations, environmental issues, weapon systems, equipment acquisitions, communications, financial management. So we'll see. Good luck to Christine Wormuth on that job. All right, vaccinations and giving away millions of dollars. California offered $116.5 million in vaccination prizes. This is like a pot of money. It's crazy, right? Especially for the people who were already going to get them. Is that not the best? So the $1 million vax winner, the first one anyway that we know of, because I mean there's more to come. The first lottery winner was announced, and it's a recent college grad who won in Ohio, which I love, actually, that story. I'm thinking about when I got out of college and I was hustling so many jobs. I worked in, I want to call it a preppy clothing store. It was called The Lodge. It was kind of like a Gap. And then I was doing broadcasting. I was a production assistant in Philly. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I'm exhausted thinking about it. So good for her. How amazing is that? It was announced on the Tube. Governor Mike DeWine, she wins $1 million. Karen Bujinski was the winner. And I guess she had no idea she won until her grandmother had found out, and then reporters were calling, and, you know, there you go. So she won the million, and she gets a full ride scholarship to Ohio public colleges, and to five vaccinated teenagers actually are next. So a seven-figure check. You know, she thought it was a scam. She kept saying, is it a scam? But this is the whole idea. It was part of the lottery to get people to, you know, to do it. And by the way, she is, to not confuse you with the scholarships they're giving away for the younger kids. Again, she won $1 million. She's an engineer and a recent college grad. And it's funny because her grandmother in her 70s, who lives in Michigan, was pushing her to get the shot as soon as she was eligible. So yay, grandma. Whew. All right, Memorial Day traffic. Are you headed anywhere? Beaches, that's where I feel like going, to a beach, but it's going to be tough to get there when you think about Memorial Day traffic, because Memorial Day traffic now, maybe the first time we really see the traffic as for what it was in the past. And when you're headed to, like, beach areas, that's where it always gets jammed up. So how do you beat the traffic? You leave at the crack of dawn. Like, that's my best tip, you know. I think 4th of July is bad. I think Memorial Day's bad. I think Thanksgiving is always the worst, however, so there you go. Memorial Day won't be quite as bad. Leave early, and if you can leave on Friday and make it a longer weekend, some of you might be listening to me and you're doing just that. Woohoo! Be safe on the highways, people, and enjoy Memorial Day. Hopefully you're getting together with family, friends, or if you're staying home, just relax, grill, hang out. Hang with us. Coming up next, we're hitting the mailbag.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission, and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
We know the global elites, the 1%, have hijacked and subverted the U.S. culture, economy, and government. The battle to take back America begins with the Rise USA, the Resurrection Tour. Thousands of patriots are on the march to Little Rock, Shreveport, and three stops in Texas, plus many other stops on the Arise USA Tour. 50 states, 84 stops, 111 days. The Arise USA Tour will unite the 99% of we the people that stand against the 1% globalist elites and their tyranny. The Arise USA Tour is free, with hundreds of speakers and freedom fighters, including Constitutional Sheriff Richard Mack, the Patriot Street Fighter Scott McKay, human rights attorney Lee Dundas, and many more. For tour info and a list of speakers, go to AriseUSA.com. Join the thousands that have donated over $1 million to Arise USA Tour. To donate or for the tour stop nearest you, go to AriseUSA.com. That's AriseUSA.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
All right, thanks so much for everybody who decided they were going to flip me their thoughts. I always say it 24/7, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Boy, there's always so much to talk about. I know it just sounds like the cliche over and over again. Send me your thoughts, 24/7, calorie-free. But it's the truth. So let's jump into it. First one is this one. I got this one from Bobby B, who says, Katie D, I haven't actually had a chance to email you, but I found the time, and I'm wondering what you think about the new guys who are taking over Rush Limbaugh's radio slot. You would have been perfect. You would have been perfect for earlier in the day, just so you know. Well, thank you, my fan friend. I do know something about them, the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton, and that taking over for Rush Limbaugh, can you imagine? I mean, he's the father of news talk radio, of talk radio, and Premier Networks announced that, yeah, they're going to be on the air from 12 to 3 starting on June 21st, and probably, you know, you think about that coveted slot, and especially syndicated wise, and there's been a hole there because of you know, the father of talk radio, a conservative 3-hour show where he was the guy. I mean, he owned that time slot. Travis does sports. He does Fox Sports Radio's Outkick, the coverage with Clay Travis. And he is the founder of a media company. Oh, I can relate to that. Sexton is the host of the Buck Sexton Show. He's a former CIA officer, NYPD counterterrorism expert, and he's a political commentator, obviously. So those are the two that they put together to fill in for the legend. And, you know, they got a good running start because they're going to air on hundreds of stations across the country. And that's all I know, you know, about that, that since Limbaugh died in February, there's been guest hosts and old tapes of him, and he died at 70 with the battle, after a battle with lung cancer, so it's pretty tough to walk into that to walk into that spot. I mean, his show was the most listened to talk radio broadcast in the entire United States. He had a weekly audience of 15.5 million listeners at his peak. So that's, you know, that's really tough. No one beats Rush in the political news talk radio format, as my pal Michael Harrison from Talker said. All right, let's move on to another one. This one is from Michael. Michael is listening to us in Oregon. Katie Kate, I love your nicknames for me. Katie Kate, I found you. I like you. I love you, in fact. And I've told my buddies to listen to you. Keep going. It's fun to hear the things that you come up with. It's very crazy when we think of not the Bush years, but when we think of the years of Trump and conservatism and the party's direction, and you mentioned it, and the struggle Republicans are having in deciding, you know, in what direction they're going to go. But I agree with you. If the polls are right, and with what Trump is saying, barring some bizarre health problem, there's just, he's going to run again. And I think he has a hell of a chance to win in 2024. What do you think? I think he has a chance to win in 2024, absolutely. Because he's got certainly people that are in his corner that are working with him. And when you see a poll that comes out the other day that shows 66%, that's a high number. 66% of Republicans want him to make a third run for the White House. Well, you tell me, polling is where it's at when it comes to politics. Political people are like hounds. I mean, seriously, when it comes to polls, they freak out about the polls. So all the people I know that are looking at this polling, they're saying, yeah, this shows that there is definitely an interest there. There is definitely plenty of people that would vote for him. And then we have, you know, part two, Biden, Trump. It's crazy when you think of our history. If you go back to the early days, it's a little bit different with who was president, what happened, they ran, etc. I mean, in the very beginnings of our country. But to see him come back and to see what happens, Republicans would have to unite around him. I said this, nobody to me would challenge him for that spot. I mean, what Republican would challenge Trump to get the nomination? I ask you, who would that person be? And I can't come up with one. I can come up with people that can fill certain roles, but none right now today that could challenge. None. You know, absolutely not. All right, we bounce from that's what I love about doing this show, right? So we bounce from the politics of the future back to the reality of what's happening today. And this one was from Ann saying, these lotteries are crazy in a way. I can't imagine. You want to get vaccinated, you go and get vaccinated, and then you win $1 million. For all those people that win $1 million, what would that feel like to win the vaccine lottery? The young girl who won just out of college, that's pretty amazing. So she starts her life not in the hole, but ahead. So good for her that she, you know, that she won. And I'd be curious if there are people who end up winning who were not going to get vaccinated, and it was enough incentive to push them to want to go and get vaccinated, because that's the whole idea of the whole thing, is to get people interested who weren't interested, non-vaxxers, in doing so. Yeah, absolutely. And her grandmother was pushing her to do that. She was going to get a vaccine no matter what it sounded like. So she got super lucky. I mean, seriously, super, super lucky. All right, we move to another one. This one is from Marvin. He says, Kate, I'm here on the West Coast and, you know, not too far from San Jose. I know you lived in California. 9 people dead in that mass shooting. Oh, families, heartbreaking. It's all anybody's talking about out here, honestly, from tip to top of the Golden State. And you said it, because you said you drove by so many times, that VTA area when you were visiting friends. And there's been a lot of conversation about the people and what they did and how long they had worked there, and there was too many that were too young, and any lives that were snuffed out as a result of whatever the reason is. Their colleague was angry, he was emotional, he was bipolar, he was whatever he was, they don't even know. It's just so depressing. It is. I've had to turn off the tube, frankly, because I can't watch it anymore. And again, my heart goes out to all those people. Yeah, I like that they're talking about the people, though, like telling you more about them, you know, what they did, what they specifically did there. You know, a lot of them were mechanics, and they were substation maintainers, they called them. And there was one guy, Adrian Balzea, I think his name is. He was just 29, and he started off as just a trainee. He's a bus operator trainee, and then he worked his way up, and he was working his way up to a maintenance worker and then a light rail operator. So he was on that path, and he really apparently loved what he did. And, gosh, just really, really sad. And then there was the story of Tadapdeep Singh, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. Singh is definitely his last name. He's just 36. He started as a bus operator trainee, and then he became a light rail operator, and he saved people in the final moments. You know, he was a father, he's a husband, he's a brother, he's a, you know, all those things that go along in life. And he, you know, eyewitnesses said that he was trying to keep other people safe, that he reacted quickly, he got colleagues into secure offices, he was calling others who would have been coming in for a shift change to warn him about the shooter. So that's how he lived the final moments of his life. And very sad, he had left behind a wife and a 3-year-old son and a 1-year-old daughter. You can't get that life back, no matter what happens. And of course, the shooter killed himself, so that's the end of that story. But what possessed him to do it, and that's the puzzle, and the puzzle is what they'll try to unravel. That's exactly what's going to happen. All right, let's move on to another one. How about this one? This is interesting. This one is from Dak, who says, Kate, I know this is kind of a Hollywoodish thing, but as a father of 4 kids who had to fight like hell to get partial custody, joint custody of my kids, bravo Brad Pitt. You might have seen that he was given temporary joint custody of the 6 kids that he has between him and his ex-wife Angelina Jolie, and there was so much mud that was dragged all over the place, I guess, between these two, and more about him and things that he allegedly did and whatever. You just got to think that he has to be feeling pretty good. I know that was a big moment for me, so rock on, Pitster. Yeah, I like that, Pitster. Yeah, they split up like in 2016. They're not married. But I guess the terms of their divorce haven't been finalized, so that's what that's about. They got another hearing coming up, but yep, he gets temporary custody. And thanks for sending that. You can send me your thoughts, Kate, at katedelaneyradio.com. Hang with us. More coming your way on the flip side.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure, jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The Senate is considering the creation of an independent commission to investigate the January 6th attack at the U.S. Capitol. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
We must get at the truth and do everything in our power to restore Americans' faith in our elections and this grand, ongoing, noble experiment of democracy.
The measure doesn't have enough support from Republicans. Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
The additional extraneous commission that Democratic leaders want would uncover crucial new facts or promote healing.
Only six Republicans say they'll vote in favor of the measure. It's already passed in the House. President Biden spoke in Cleveland about his infrastructure plan. He said America is not respected.
The 13th best infrastructure in the world. Come on.
This is USA Radio News. Three police officers in Washington state were charged in the killing of Manuel Ellis, a black man who died while being handcuffed and restrained last year. Attorney General Bob Ferguson filed second-degree murder charges against officers Christopher Burbank and Matthew Collins and a first-degree manslaughter charge against Officer Timothy Ranking. The Attorney General's office said it was the first time it has criminally charged police officers for the unlawful use of deadly force, and the second time homicide charges have been filed since Washington passed a law in November 2018. Ellis, 33, was killed after police stopped him as he was walking home. Documents state that officers slammed Ellis into the ground unprovoked as they punched and hogtied him. He repeatedly said, "I can't breathe." Witnesses say they saw Ellis and there was no sign of aggression. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
We go to Aberdeen, Scotland for a conversation with Tawny Eagle. The name of the book is Third World is in Progress. Third World War is in progress now. So think about that. In progress now. Well, first of all, when I picked up the book and saw the title, I was like, oh boy, we're in trouble. So it's a pleasure to have Tawny on the show. Tawny, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Tell me the reasons why you wrote the book. What led you to write this book?
Well, I think the main reason is I saw that the coronavirus effects were being manipulated in order to further certain aims in the world and of politicians or individual countries and agendas. And I felt that this was worsening the problems distinctly for certain areas of people, and that that was a story that should go out. And whilst I was doing that, I realized what the tools were that were being used to allow that and how it was affecting people. For instance, 3 million children die in a year of starvation in the world, and that's not very well monitored or put out there or done much about. And I feel that the manipulation effects with the shutdowns that were caused and the lack of money to charities and stuff, I feel that number will have risen significantly, which would then be more than a diet of the coronavirus.
Wow. And so you think about that, and just in putting that out there, how those charities are affected now because of, like you said, the coronavirus, it's going to be a much bigger number.
Yeah, but it's also, when you think about it, like in Britain, they cancelled all the cancer treatment. And some members of my family have got cancer, and they were all suspended treatment. And there was an estimate at one point that 50,000 people have died due to delayed treatment alone in the UK. So there is no evidence that locking people in buildings actually stops coronavirus or makes it better. There's new evidence come out, for instance, that if you get a common cold, that actually displaces the coronavirus. So if you're keeping people from mixing, they won't catch the common cold as easily, so more of them will catch COVID.
Yeah, wow, fascinating. All right, so the book, as I said, The Third World War is in Progress Now, and you can get this on Amazon. Tell us about the book. Give us a few pieces of the book.
Right, well, it starts, you know, by explaining that as soon as the COVID started to become an issue, then China decided to manipulate the outcomes of it so that it didn't get hammered by the economic consequences. So they shut down within China, but they didn't shut down their international flights. So thereby making sure that it spread less in China, but it would continue to spread internationally. They would also then plan a shutdown very early and very radical, and they knew that the rest of the world wouldn't do those things. So that by the time they were reopening for business, the rest of the world would just be shutting down and have an economic effect. So that's one sort of thing. Another thing that mentions in the book is we mentioned the Chinese Belt and Road Project, where they're trying to connect China to Europe and Africa by various economic means, loans to countries. And then we also come into the subject of loans, how America helps fund the World Bank, which lends $4.4 trillion to China in a year, and then America borrows $1.4 trillion from China. So how does this all work? I've got some explanation of how it works, and the total opacity of the Chinese economy. Nobody knows how much they own or borrow or what their net payments are. Nobody knows. So lots of these things. What else could I tell you? The fact that now the world can be driven by social media. It drives people in kind of herds and with often quite flawed reasoning, but instant appeal and instant transmission. Not like a book which takes months to get out. You can get stuff out, as Donald Trump's proven, at 2 a.m., you know, to millions of people. And this can cause, you know, instant action by people. So now you don't really need to have a whole government driving things with an official army and all that sort of stuff. You can actually drive things in certain ways which are just as powerful like that with social media.
For you, as you know, after writing the book and thinking about, okay, what are the big takeaways? What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Well, I hope they take away that one should look at things a little less in a shallow and instant perspective, with one point of view. I think you should research key issues in your life and have a look around, and then decide how you've been treated by your leaders and media. Because I don't think that people are being treated well. You know, one of my favorite authors is George Orwell, and the book 1984. And I think there's a lot of that going on nowadays. You know, this false enemy creation, this driving people in certain directions by misinformation. I think that's going on.
For you to write this book, was it, you know, was it interesting? Was it fun? What was it like to put it together?
Well, it was terrifying because I'm not an author, really. This is the first time I've ever written a book. And I didn't think I would be able to do it very well. I spent a very intense period writing it, just a few weeks. I wanted to get down what I saw and what I had lived seeing. And my kids were a great inspiration to me because as soon as Daddy started writing a book, they did too, and they will both get their books published. But one's about magical war battles, and another one is about a mermaid who changes, a girl who changes into a mermaid whenever she's in war. So I was really surprised what we could achieve. So that about made me feel that I could probably achieve it, and I just sat there 12 hours a day until I did.
Yeah. Will you do another book now that you've done this one? Again, the Third World War is in progress now. You can get it on Amazon.
Well, I think I would like to. I'm not sure if it would be the same subject or a revision of the subject, but I think it would probably be about something else, because there's quite a few other things around that I would be interested in doing about, you know, people's lives and how they develop through their life and what things happen to people.
Yeah.
But I think this one here in particular is very on topic at the moment, on theme, and you see the way that the world has changed immensely, even during Donald Trump's presidency. The way that he was a president, no one's ever been like that before.
Yeah, boy, that's for certain, and it'll be interesting. And of course, we won't be around, but as history goes further, where you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, how history remembers this period.
Yes.
And what the world is like.
Yeah, and I think also how international relations and other things change, because, you know, there's less, there's more immediacy to everything, and there's less nationality to things, and that might increase, but there's certainly more grouping of countries in sectors and segments and politics, and that's what I've got in the book here, how they actually manipulate areas of the world to their advantage.
Yeah. So interesting book. Definitely, like I said, you can pick it up on Amazon. Tawny Eagle, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Kate.
Really enjoyed that conversation with Tawny Eagle. I've mentioned this now a few times. The Third World War is in progress now. He talks pretty honestly. I mean, it is his what he's saying about the manipulations, showing how superpowers manipulated all kinds of things and seized opportunity in the oil industry, for example, and the coronavirus. I mean, you know, we talk about what happened with COVID-19, and specifically he says, this is a fictional story, you heard him say that, of how superpowers were able to manipulate, and what did they manipulate? And as he says, and he clearly said it in the interview too, it's a total set of his own thoughts, you know, things that he was thinking about, his own thoughts, opinions, and conclusions, and he has no way to know how many real facts about the workings of the governments or conversations between the leaders. I mean, he has no way to know that, and that's why he said he wrote this as a work of fiction, to show the modern world could what it could theoretically be, to show that we're never far from chaos or, and I love this one, you know, corruption, great self-interest. That could be like the nightly theme here. Instead of social responsibility and transparency and decency, and I love that he talked about that. To me, those are key words there. Social order, transparency, and decency. And for goodness sake, I mean, come on. And we see this. We see what's happening in Western governments, including the United States. We talk about it, the lies, the deception, the lack of transparency. It's almost like the second somebody or an administration says, we're going to be really transparent, run for the hills, because they're not going to be transparent. Anyway, fun to chat with him. I love that he tackled this. And I love that he said, I have no way to know, you know, is this exactly it? I'm doing it as a fictional work, and that makes a lot of sense to me. So thanks to Tawny Eagle, and thanks to all of you for listening to this. Hang with us, everybody.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Excited to take you on a journey to college. It's outside of Nottingham in England, and in our
it's just on the outskirts as well. It's not far.
Yeah, not far, and you can hear his voice in our virtual green room. Picture this: we have the Cheese Boy, and he has actually written 18 books. That's impressive. Four of them are published, and we're going to talk about a couple of them. Cheese Boy, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, you're welcome.
What led to all of this writing? Wow, I mean, you just are bountiful when it comes to writing. How did you know you had this ability? When did it all start?
Well, like I said, I didn't know until, I didn't realize completely until 2019, after the criticals told me about it. But I just started writing because I was going through a bad time with everything that happened in life, and I just had to put my words down and get my stuff, all the feelings out into a book, and it's just progressed from there. And now I'm writing like 2-3 books a year now.
So your first book was, and this is one we're going to talk about, My Little Blue Book, and as you said, you were going through a tough time, so you poured it all into this book. What was it like writing the book? Was it kind of cathartic doing these poems?
No, actually, believe it, it was like therapy. I was like self-shrinking, if you know what I mean. I was like, it was my own therapy. And I read the bits I wrote and I was like, wow, that's actually really good. Because it was originally, I started writing just as a hobby. And then I realised that my stuff's actually quite good. Because my dad died at the end of my little blue book. The very last rhyme on it is about my dad passing away.
Wow. And you go from, like you say, you go from My Little Blue Book to bouncing into My Little Red Book, which is a continuation of that. So you were inspired by all kinds of different things, right?
Yeah, just anything that happened, like if a terrorist attack, I'd write about it and stuff like that, and all sorts of things like that. or just general things in life. Just, it's like some of it's like part diary. It's the experiences I've had. Another bit's just stuff people have told me or I've seen on the news and stuff.
Yeah. And then, you know, you've got this book called My Marvelous Super Story Book. And I love that title, a collection of 16 short stories. And so you write poetry, you go to short stories too that you were writing, and you've got 16 stories in there. And you told me off the air that part of that was because of your niece and your nephew and your sister, right?
Yeah, William and Jesus, yeah, they're the ones that inspired it. I originally wrote a little 2-week story about it, but since then, in my books afterwards, there's always been William McCheese's stories in it. And like I said, I go into a lot of detail about the background and all sorts, and names from movies. Like there's a character in one of my newer stories called Rambo Matrix, and it's basically based on Rambo and Arnold Schwarzenegger in Commando. He's like that sort of guy.
Yeah, I remember
that. It was about a rescue mission from a concentration camp, and the ship collapse and stuff like that. It goes into all sort of detail and everything. It's quite interesting.
Yeah,
stuff
you do.
It amazes me.
Yeah, you do come up with a lot of detail. I think that's the brilliance of your writing. Tell us about William McJesus. That's a great name. Tell us who William McJesus is in the character.
Wheeler. Yeah, Wheeler. His name's Wheeler. Well, it's Sterling is in Stirling Moss, Wheeler. And because basically William McJesus is about this dealership, and it's started by a woman called Wendy Wheeler and a bloke called Nigel Lightning McCheese. They call him Lightning because he was a Formula One driver. And basically, Wendy Wheeler's husband died in a car crash at this place called Imodula, which is quite good. It's based on Imola, where Ayrton Senna died. But I put the emoji bit in because I didn't want to get done for all that sort of stuff. And basically, it's just about customers coming and going and buying cars and getting stuff fixed and restored. And like I said, some customers just kept waking me up in like 2-3 in the morning. And I had to write it down and then go back to bed.
Wow. So I love that. You get inspired. You got to write. Boom. That's it. Then you just do it. When you write, do you pound it out on the computer or do you write it longhand?
No, it's all improvised. The whole lot's improvised. I don't plan it. It's just I write whatever comes to me at the time.
Wow. And it's like.
And then what other elements come in as well, like the spirit world and stuff like that, they help me sort of polish it up, I suppose.
Yeah, and I mentioned this is top 18 books, 4 published. And when people read your books, like if they read My Marvelous Super Story Book, a collection of 16 short stories, what do you hope they walk away with when they read your stuff?
Well, I really hope they enjoy it. Because apparently the Americans like stuff about old villages in England anyway. You love it, that sort of stuff. That's what the publisher told me.
Boy, that's true. That's why we have our Renaissance festivals, and I just came back from one. So I would say that you nailed it. That's exactly right with Americans. We're very curious about all of that. Has this been fun for you, this road of doing this?
It has been fun, but it's been stressful as well with the amount of cost it's cost me because basically I'm ruined at the moment financially. Until I get paid again at the end of the month.
Right.
You have to make commitments to get anywhere, don't you?
Yes. And I was going to say, I think a lot of people can relate to that, too, as you're pursuing your dream. And, you know, you get my little red book we talked about, my little blue book, my marvelous super story book, a collection of 16 short stories, and Wheeler McJesus, and talking about the car dealership and what happens there. What do your pals say about this? What do your friends say about all your writing?
Well, my friends actually like the book because I gave some copies to people at work, and one of them, Charlie, it was on about the New Year's Day story, New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And he says to me, "You dirty bugger doing that with Gil and Toilet." I says, "Charlie, it was made up." He goes, "You what?" I says, "It never happened, mate. It's a made up story." He's like, "I thought it was real." I says, "No, mate, it won't. It's all made up, but it's based on friends of mine."
There you go. And that's the thing. It's based on friends, so they see themselves in it, which can always be interesting. Cheese Boy, I can't wait to see what happens for you next. And these are all books that you, of course, can get on Amazon. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Once again, thanks to Cheese Boy, interesting pen name, My Marvelous Super Story Book, My Little Red Book, My Little
Blue Book, and you can pick all of those up on Amazon. Big news, first female Secretary of the Army. I mean, serving in that role, wow. There was a strange thing that happened with the Senate confirmation, but it all worked. First there was an approval, then a reversal. It's not worth going through the machinations of procedure and what was screwed up. Bottom line is Christine Wormuth, who led Joe Biden's transition team at the Pentagon, is in. She served in the past as Undersecretary of Defense for Policy and the Senior Director for Defense Policy, mouthful, huh, at the National Security Council during the Obama administration. Her most recent role, she was director of the International Security and Defense Policy Center at the RAND Corporation, which is a federally funded think tank. So she's been in those circles for a while. And former Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy, who left the job in January, said she's got the temperament, strategic thinking, and relationships that'll help the Army to be successful in the next decade. So the Senate Armed Services Committee advanced her nomination on Tuesday. It's interesting, her background, yay, go Texas. She grew up in College Station, Texas, and she graduated from Williams College in Massachusetts. But I think Republicans and Democrats are wanting her to succeed. It's a big job when you think of what you have to do in that role. So, again, a glass ceiling was broken. First female Army Secretary, a lot of prestigious generals, I'll say this, backed her up and wanted to see that happen of different parties, you know, so there you go. All right, the other thing that's happened and we talked about this week is the San Jose shooting. I've already gone into this and talked about how sad it is, how awful, how disgusting, how shocking, how, you know, put in whatever adjective you want. I can't imagine being a family member and getting that phone call. I can't imagine struggling with what you have to struggle with and the realization of losing someone that way. I just feel so badly, so awful for all of those people that have to deal with that. I mean, that's a terrible, terrible thing to deal with that. In the meantime, as we move from the sadness of the gunman who was targeting victims at the San Jose rail yard, and they're still trying to piece that together, and some of the heroes of that day who helped others, this is a story we always follow. The 4,000 children now that are housed at an emergency intake site at Fort Bliss. What is going on? We've got to solve this riddle. So these are kids who crossed the U.S.-Mexican border alone. And they're being held in what some people say are dangerous and distressing conditions at an emergency shelter that I mentioned, Fort Bliss. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services erected this intake site. What's going on? They cannot languish for weeks. And I know every answer I get from everybody is, what are we going to do? They are getting hot meals, but they, you know, don't have adequate access to water, showers, clean clothes, things that they need. I mean, it's terrible. There has to be a way to process this. There has to be a way to figure this out. I mean, there is not a lot of oversight here, and it's pretty scary to me. All right, thank you so much for listening to this hour of the show. No matter what, make it count, everyone, and have a great Memorial Day weekend. As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.